Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you'd like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK, 866-713-9675.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork, the number 4, him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Welcome to I Work For Him, where we claim you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio, because it is the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio, as Martha and I host you from our vacation. Yeah, you know, I've been asking myself, how come we're doing radio on vacation? And here's why. We drove down a point earlier this year that people should live with intentionality, Martha, even in their vacations. And we're so glad people tune into I Work For Him today so they can hear about something we've done to build in intentionality into our vacation.
Yeah, so we're just really hoping that this conversation just spurs you to think about your time off just a little bit differently and be able to do something that not only presents a great opportunity and great memories, but also something that can maybe spur you on in your faith.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we spent the day, you know, before we tell people where we spent the day, how about telling people, you know, I'll just tell them. How about I tell them? How about you tell people where they can find us on social media?
Well, we are all things I Work For Him. So I Work the number 4, Him. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all of those things. And then also on all of the podcast platforms, Jim, it's a great way for people to, maybe they want to hear something that we've talked about recently, replay it, share it with a friend. You can subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
That's right. And we'd also love to hear from you, our listeners. If you would just take a moment right now, write down our listener line, 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK, 866-715-96.
I don't think so.
866-713-9675. You know, why does it do that? When I say it the third time, I always mess up.
Don't say it the third time.
Okay, 866-713-9675. We would love to get some feedback from you, our listeners, whether you're listening in our greater Tampa Bay area, whether you're listening on the podcast, whether you're listening in Jacksonville, whether you're listening in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, whether you're listening to us in Cherokee County. We would love to hear from you some things that you would like us to open up the show talking about, and you can leave us a message on the listener line. And when we get home from vacation, we'd love to have lots and lots of those. 866-713-9675. Now, Martha, it was our dream 2 years ago when you and I first came here to Kentucky to get our family back to the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go to the Ark Encounter today.
We did. So we had the opportunity of being able to get the family there and really experience it for themselves. I think one of the things at the Ark Encounter is it's exciting because more and more people across the country are getting to know about it and learn about it. And we just want our listeners to know about this amazing place that is a great destination for a family vacation.
Over a million people a year are going to the Ark Encounter and over half a million a year going to the Creation Museum. So 1.5 million people investing in their vacation time, learning really better how to defend their faith. I mean, let's just talk about some of our experiences. So we were the last time here 14 months ago. And in that 14 months, we have, they've grown the zoo,
mm-hmm.
But it rained when we were there, and so we didn't get to go to the zoo.
You know, it's kind of funny. It rains at the Ark. You know, it just makes, they said they turned on the rain exhibit for us.
It was a rain exhibit.
Yeah.
But 14 months ago.
Okay, so they expanded the zoo.
Expanded the zoo, got a huge playground, adult and kid-sized playground.
Yeah, they said it's a well, I don't know if it's a one of a kind, but it's a very unique playground in the sense that it can actually handle like, a wheelchair can pull up onto a teeter-totter or a merry-go-round. I can't remember which thing they said,
but
it was like, I think it was a merry-go-round, but it's ground level. And, you know, there's a lot of things so that it can be a full experience for people of different abilities. And right. It's huge. And, you know, you think, why at the Ark would there be a playground? But, you know, we all need to exert a little energy in different ways. And this is just an opportunity to be outside in the beauty of nature.
You know, what's fun for me is when I go to a place like that, I'm just encouraged because I learn things better, how to defend my faith and understanding what the scriptures really say. I mean, that's what's wild to me is that, and even I even got called out by Patrick Kanuski when we were on the air with him, you know, that, you know, the biblical stories. Well, to me, they're historical facts, but I call them stories, but they're not. They're biblical history.
Yeah. And so that was just really something, Jim, for us to become aware of, that even though we mean truth and history, when you say story, it's a lot easier for somebody to think about a fairy tale or something like that. The Bible is full of truth and actual historical happenings. And Noah and the historical event of the flood are real. And that is what you experience when you go to the Ark Encounter.
All right. So when we got to go and walk around, we saw so many cool things. And now they have this new event center.
Yes.
The what was it called again?
Answer Center.
Answer Center. It can hold up to 2,500 people.
It's amazingly huge.
And very, very big. And so that's where you go for presentations. We got to hear Ken Ham speak, who is the founder of answersingenesis.org, mm-hmm. arkencounter.com,
creationmuseum.org.
All right. So, Martha, this is I Work For Him. Why are we talking about vacation? Why are we talking about where we went on vacation? Why are we talking about the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum?
Well, for lots of reasons, because a lot of them can point back to our workplace, whether it be a conversation with our coworkers of saying, hey, where did you just come back from on vacation? Or where are you planning to go on vacation? What a great open door to say, hey, I'm going to go to this Ark Encounter. Have you ever heard of Noah and the Ark? And you can open the door to that conversation. But also the bigger one is just this whole conversation around taking the opportunity to really be intentional in our vacation. And what are we doing? You know, we don't want to live with regret and say, man, I wish we'd spent some time or exposed our family to this or that. And things that are really feasible to do, like this experience by going to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, we really want our listeners to hear about, because it's very doable. What did they say? 2/3 of the country is within a day drive of the locations.
2/3 of the population of the country.
You're right. The population, which, of course, yes, the trees aren't going to drive there. The people are going to drive
there. That's right. Well, what was amazing is that as Ken Ham was calling out to the audience, we spent an hour with Ken Ham as he was speaking to us about apologetics and answering questions to overcome people attacking the Christian faith. And he started calling out states, and there were people from every state there.
Yeah.
Except there wasn't anybody there from California when we were there. When we're there.
Well, he kind of razzed them, and they may not have wanted to admit
it.
They might not have. There were people there from New Zealand. There were people from Canada. There were people from Brazil.
From the Philippines.
Philippines. I mean, it was an international opportunity as well.
It was. So talk to me about what was the most incredible new thing you learned. Did you learn something new yesterday? Today, when we were yesterday, the Creation Museum, today, the Ark Encounter.
So I think for me, the biggest thing, new thing that I learned, just reinforcing this whole idea of a young earth. I think that we don't realize how many places we hear about millions and millions of years and the reality of God's creation and the truth of all this dating and things that are so flawed and are adjusted to meet the
rhetoric.
The rhetoric. So not even realizing where it's crept into my own vocabulary, my own thinking. So that was really probably my biggest new reminder, I think, more than anything. Big takeaway.
The layers thing, as they talked about, you know, they say that dinosaurs is a word that was only created 150 years ago. Before, they just called it big lizards. Mm-hmm. And it just goes back to this whole, they make it sound like it was so far, so long ago. Yet there are spots in our country where there are footprints of man inside the footprints of so-called dinosaurs, which are just big lizards. And we just need to realize that our earth is young, and the layers laid down after the flood were the catastrophic flood. I mean, that's something I studied yesterday as they talked about, you know, out after Mount St. Helens, in 2 days, 25 layers of sediment had been settled, and canyons After 2 months, canyons were dug deep. There were hundreds of feet deep after Mount St. Helens. Well, it's the same kind of thing that happened on our all over the earth after the Great Flood. And just to understand that these layers, it's just incredible. We live on a young earth. The Bible is literal. We believe it.
And people can go to answersingenesis.org to really get some of those. You know, if this makes them curious, they can check it out for themselves. And there's a lot of resources there, Jim, for people to learn about.
The bookstore. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just a few.
Love the bookstore. I wanted to buy all of the books. It was just incredible. When we come back, we're going to bring in grandkids and kids who got to experience the Ark Encounter with us. We want you to hear their perspective because they're going to look at things differently because they've never been there before. Put it on your vacation list, arkencounter.com, creationmuseum.org, and all of it under answersingenesis.org. We'll be right back with more on I Work for Him.
Discouragement. It's one of Satan's standbys. He wants believers to focus on the bad things in our lives so we will become discouraged and defeated. But the Lord Jesus uses Satan's discouragement to empower our faith. The cross is the ultimate example of Jesus turning Satan's plan upside down. The cross discouraged the disciples. They felt defeated and afraid as they watched Jesus take the worst of what Satan in this world could offer. But when he rose from the dead, they would never be discouraged again. They realized nothing could defeat their Lord, and that they had been empowered to overcome all in his name. And so, my friends, are you. Got questions? Find answers. Mark829.com.
Welcome to the I Work For Him Radio Power Thought for the Day. I'm Jim Brangenberg, host of the I Work For Him Radio program, heard 5 days a week. Relationship, relational. Is there any better word to describe Christianity that sets our religion apart from others? Our faith is based solely on relationship. And is there any better model for us to follow? In our life and in our work, they're all based on this model. And the basis of the relationship model is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2 says, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing." How will you love well at work today? For more about I Work For Him and how you can listen every day to Christ followers just like you who are living out their faith in their work, go to iworkforhim.com. That's iwork, the number 4, him.com. Welcome to I Work For Him, as we often talk solely about helping you connect what you hear on Sunday with what you do in your 9 to 5, because we're all about transforming the workplaces of every Christian into a mission field. But we're taking a vacation break. So, in other words, a lot of us say, well, when we go on vacation, we kind of take a vacation from our faith. And Martha and I talked about eliminating the summer faith drought syndrome. And we decided to live it out before our audience and say, let's live with intentionality. And so we took all of our family that could attend to the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. And we just got done at the Ark Encounter, and now we have our youngest, Sarah Michelle, joining us on there. She lives in Iowa, and she got to drive and meet us in Kentucky, and we're super excited to have you there with us, Sarah Michelle. Talk to us about the Ark Encounter. Now, I hyped it up. I've hyped it up for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I thought it was super cool. I think yes, you guys have talked about it a lot, but I don't think you can fully grasp the massiveness, that's not a word, but I'm gonna make it a word.
It is now.
And just like the true what it really means, it you can't understand it till you see it for yourself. I think you can think about how cool it is, but it's so much more than cool once you're actually there.
So when you took the bus from the Welcome Center, went down through the valley and came up to the top of the hill and parked, and they let you off, and all of a sudden now you could see the Ark. Mm-hmm. What was your first reaction?
I was like, holy cow, that thing's huge. And I'm just thinking about like how much wood that is, and just that you start to think about what it was like for Noah to build that a lot of years ago when you think about how much of a task it was to build it in the 21st century. And so I immediately was like, holy smokes, that thing is huge and incredible.
510 feet long, 50 feet, 30 feet wide, 50 feet wide, 50 feet high. I can't remember what it was. Big.
It's 300 by 50 by 30.
Okay.
Cubits.
That's right. Okay. So we're talking about the Ark Encounter as our whole family got to experience the Ark Encounter. Okay, Sarah, lots of exhibits. We also got to sit down with Patrick Kanuski, and he taught us about the Fibonacci sequence. And how we find that throughout nature and our bodies and everywhere. What'd you think about that?
That was very much mind-blowing, and I very much did not expect to get a math lesson on a Sunday. Or sorry, it was Monday. It was just way – I never heard of that before, and so it was just – yeah, it was really cool.
But it wasn't boring like a math lesson when I was your seventh grade math teacher way back when.
But I also really appreciate math, and I love math, but it was just something that I never really had the opportunity to learn about math in God's design. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's just so much of the world that says God had nothing to do with that. Well, it's not true.
It's everywhere.
Right.
I mean, I love this. So the you know, you just got to look it up because we don't have time to deal with the Fibonacci sequence on the air today. But look it up, the Fibonacci sequence and the golden
ratio,
which is 1.618034. Mm-hmm. The golden ratio. That ratio is found throughout our bodies, throughout the environment, throughout the universe and the design of the universe. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, all over the place. It's unbelievable.
And it's the one thing that was really cool is he was explaining how it's the perfect – the golden ratio, and it is God's design, but it's aesthetically pleasing. Like, we are drawn to things because of the way that they are made with this golden ratio. Like, brand logos and literally
the inside of the sunflower.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sunflower seeds, the Mazda logo, the Toyota logo, another free plug right here on iWork.
Pepsi.
But Coke, what kind of shell was that that they talked about?
Not
a snail shell.
It's one of those funky
Julius
shell things.
Cornelius. What did they
call
it?
What kind of shell was that?
I can't think of it. We'll have to come up with it in a later.
Like a
when Jonathan comes on, our grandson comes on, he'll be able to tell us what's
okay.
All right, so Sarah. Throughout the Ark, there are tons of displays, and there's tons of, I mean, there's charts, there's graphs, when you got through the door, then what did you start to think?
I was just absolutely blown away by just how intricate it was, and knowing that, like, we obviously only know so much, and but the way that they had to live and the way that just everything, God had made it very clear to Noah how to build the ark, and he got so much ridicule for it. I think that was one of the biggest things that I took away was this is massive. This is incredible. It's intricate. They had to figure out how to live there and take care of all these animals and feed them and take care of themselves and feed themselves and make food and all of these things so they can live. And, like, I don't know. It was just crazy to me. And I can't imagine having done all of these things and the constant ridicule that Noah got, and his family.
Yeah, because they estimated that it took Noah about 75 years to build the ark. Yeah. And here's why. Because they said that Noah was 500 years when God told him to build the ark. But then he had his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Yeah.
So they figured that he waited until they were in their late teens or early 20s till they started building it because he needed all the men to help build this thing. But how he got it done, who knows?
Know.
Because at the Ark Encounter, which you can find it online, arkencounter.com, they used cranes and they used tons and tons and tons of people. And I mean,
and they trucked in all this wood.
Yeah, they trucked
it
in.
Literally 35 foot tall trees.
Yeah, and how
you were kind of impressed by this.
I was super impressed by that. It was, I mean, you go in, you see the center because it's open, which is so cool because you need sunlight to help grow the plants that they need to eat. But there's literally 35 foot tall trees that are the first three levels.
Well,
like, they make up the
not that 35 foot trees are really tall, but these are 35 foot trunks of trees that are over 6 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And that's just so it's just part of the tree.
Yeah.
So Sarah, talk about the living quarters because we walked through that, and I think you were pretty impressed by that as well.
I mean, when you walk through, you're like, oh yeah, someone has to live here, obviously. But I think in the same way, you're like, I said to you, I was like, wait, why are the plants right here? Well, the plants were where they were because that's where the middle of the boat was, which is where they let the sunlight come in. And so the plants needed to be there so that they could grow. And just different things. It's like, wow, this just makes so much sense.
And they had to think through every step of that.
Every single detail.
How they stored grain, how they stored water.
Yeah, and like the one thing we saw was, you know, it, like the pots of different kinds of vegetables or whatever. Like everything was covered because you're on a boat. And if the boat rocks, then everything will fall out. And it just like different things like that where it's like, okay, no, they had to think through every single tiny little detail that we probably wouldn't think of.
Yep, for sure.
How about that? What I loved, Martha, we went back and spent some more time studying the chart of all of the kinds.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know we did you take a picture of that? I can't remember if you took a picture of that.
It wasn't the chart I was hoping that it was. No, I got a picture of more like how they thought it was laid out in the chart, in the kinds of animals, maybe because of sizes and what they would need and things like that. But, and again, this is just based on common sense, scientific, you know, evaluation. They only know so much. But no, the picture I took yesterday or when we were there was not the picture that I was hoping for of all of those kinds of animals. Because that's an amazing conversation, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, the kinds. Because they have these charts and they say, okay, out of the dog kind came every species of dogs that we have across the planet from two dogs, because in their DNA had all of the possibilities for all of these dogs. They just weren't represented. And so that within their DNA was already built in for all the kinds. And Ken Ham didn't say it when we got to hear him speak, but normally then says, and the poodle was one of those kinds. He usually says, but I don't understand why God would make the poodle. But I like poodles because I'm not allergic to them. Can you imagine if he had allergies working on that boat for a year?
No.
Probably not.
I think the one thing that I thought was really cool was how they're talking about how God brought all of these animals to the ark and to Noah. But the estimated educated guess was that they were adolescent of all of these different kinds.
And why was that important?
Size. And they had to reproduce. And so after this time on the ark, they had to know that like they had to reproduce to fill the earth back up with animals. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that was something I never really thought about. Like, oh, they didn't bring a huge giant elephant. They probably brought a baby. Like God probably brought them a baby, like two baby elephants. And you just think about like, yeah, this boat's huge. But even though it's huge, they still had thousands of animals on there.
Yeah.
So they couldn't be that big of animals.
Right. Two of every unclean kind and seven of every clean kind.
So I think one of the big takeaways, what you're hearing Sarah say, and I am feeling the same way too, is it really just kind of puts you in their shoes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And to really realize that, you know, the Bible is full of events where we tend to not completely be able to put ourselves in their shoes and say, what was it really like?
Sarah, in the last 30 seconds, what was one thing you heard Ken Ham say as he was teaching about apologetics that really stuck with you?
Oh, man. I think the one thing that really stuck out to me was at the very beginning, he was talking about the different generations and how every generation that is coming is less churched and less falling away from the church even more. I don't remember what word he used.
Biblically literate, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, even understanding
and
believing what's in the Bible.
Something that I think I was aware of, but I don't think that that was something that I really was like, holy cow, this is actually...
Yeah, you're an anomaly. As a 26-year-old that is following Christ in all of your life, you're an anomaly.
Yeah.
All right, but we're grateful that you're our daughter, and we love you, and thanks for being on I Work For Him. Yeah, we'll be right back with more of the family on I Work For Him, talking about the Ark Encounter, arkencounter.com.
Hi, I'm Martha Brangenberg. Jim and I want to thank you for tuning in to I Work For Him. Your workplace is your mission field radio program.
I Work For Him is on a mission to transform the workplaces in every state in the United States for Christ. Our mission is summed up perfectly in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If we're going to change the world, it has to be God's way.
Did you know that changing the world can begin with changing your marriage? Jim and I want to extend an invitation to you and your friends to join us in 2020 on our Cruise Your Way to a Better Marriage cruise, Thursday, February 27th through March 2nd. 2020, departing from Tampa with a port of call in Cozumel.
Yeah, the marriage cruise will combine fun, friendship, exciting marriage conversations, and a little bit of Caribbean fun. Plus, plenty of time relaxing to deepen your love for one another and strengthen your faith. Join us and 20 other married couples as we eat, relax, and explore biblical principles for our marriage and practical, tactical ways to make your marriage awesome.
When we're not cruising our way to a better marriage, Jim and I are often traveling across the country to bring you the wisdom from leading Christ followers such as Steve Green, CEO of Hobby Lobby, Gabrielle Beauchet, millennial strategist, and Dave Kale, author of The Good Book on Business. As you can imagine, our work takes a great deal of time, energy, and financial resources. Would you be willing to help with our costs by inviting your company to invest in us for their corporate giving, or by you becoming a $100 monthly sponsor? Your donation will enable us to continue our radio program in your area. To donate or become a podcast subscriber, go to iworkforhim.com. That's iworkthenumber4him.com and click on the donate tab.
Yes, and right after you get done with your donation, make sure you stay tuned to I Work For Him. There's lots more really cool stuff coming up.
Jim, we got to get back to the radio. People are waiting for the show.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Former special counsel Robert Mueller has finished testifying before Congress. Mueller testified before two committees on Wednesday for more than 6 hours on his 448-page report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. Mueller said the interference was not a hoax and it was not an isolated episode. He warned there should be more robust efforts to guard against future interference. Meanwhile, President Trump is seizing on Mueller's congressional testimony as a clear-cut victory. The president tweeted and retweeted more than two dozen times during Mueller's testimony about his investigation into the sitting president and the Trump's campaign's alleged ties to Russia. As it ended, Mr. Trump tweeted, "Truth is a force of nature." On Wall Street, a mixed day as the Dow was down by 79 points, but the Nasdaq rose 71, the S&P up by 14. More details at srnnews.com.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. Waking up every day, lifting him from the bed to the wheelchair to the car to get him to therapy on time, it's no small task between the doctors and the diagnosis, but nothing can disable this love. This is my big brother, my hero. He's part of me, like my arms and legs. So I'll be his. See, there's no time for tired. This starts again tomorrow. He'll be waiting for me. I wake up for him. I know he needs me, but I'm the lucky one. Even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Or call 877-333-5885. Caregiving Resource Center. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you'd like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK, 866-713-9675.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we talk about our family adventure, family vacation to the Ark Encounter. So much fun, Martha. Would I love just walking through the hallways? You know what my favorite part is? Can you think of my favorite part? Walking through the hallways.
The smell.
The smell and the music.
Oh, yeah.
It's
love
epic
the music.
It's music like you hear during Lord of the Rings kind of epic music. Just love,
we've decided
love, love
it's really good work music for you. Could get a lot done listening
why?
To that.
Why? When we were in the bookstore, didn't
we forgot
I buy
to look. Well, we forgot to look and see if they even had a copy. If they sell it. I don't know. It's kind of up there
epic
with Chick-fil-A. I don't think Chick-fil-A sells their music.
Chicken?
I'm not sure.
They don't sell their music?
They don't sell it.
All right, so here's the deal. We now have Jonathan and Allie Nelson on. These guys are our teenage grandkids, and they got to go along. Now, Jonathan and Allie, for several years, we've been pumping you on the Ark Encounter, telling you about it. Hey, we're going to go on family vacation. We finally got to do it. Allie, you first. You take the bus down the hill, you come up the hill, and it parks, and you get out of the bus, and you see the Ark. What was your first thought?
I was, like, amazed. It was a lot bigger than I thought it was. It felt so real. It felt really crazy. It was really, it made me really happy. I was so happy.
I mean, it's just, I mean, it's breathtaking, isn't it? Okay, so yeah. Jonathan, same thing for you. You come down the hill out of the parking lot. You're in the bus. You're coming up the top of the hill. They park and you get out and you see the Ark. What was your first thought?
Just wow at the size, and kind of had just a bunch of different thoughts about how Noah built that without any of the current day technology and the cranes and like
the cranes.
Yeah,
yeah, because we got to watch the video of how they built it.
Yep.
I mean, and
do today, you, like, I mean, like modern day how they.
Well,
built
they didn't
it.
Have videos of when Noah did.
We weren't able to. I don't know why I felt the need to clarify that.
Yeah,
but
just in case you guys were wondering, there was no
there
video,
is a video of Moses yeah,
of
Noah
of Moses and building the ark. There's a video when Moses was building the ark and he helped Noah out.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. All right. It is vacation. It's
you guys
okay.
are going to look really good after I
okay.
talk now here,
all
right?
So it's massive, and I just – it's.
So you were
right.
watching the video.
Okay, we're watching the video, the construction video. But what stuck in your head about this construction video? What was the one thing you saw about the construction video you're like, cool?
Well, I mean, it took a long time. It was a time lapse, but kind of cool. It was just to see kind of how they did – different layers were put together of it and how many layers they actually put on it.
Allie, when we walked in, you remember they showed that wall of like, this is what we think the hull of the Ark would have looked like. You remember how thick that was? That we were walked in that one inch. Allie doesn't remember that. Okay. So that's fine. Do you remember that? Did you look at that wall or not?
Yeah.
Okay. It was how thick was that? What they think the hull had to have been in order to support all the weight.
It was about 5 feet thick.
Yeah. 5 feet thick.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. And it was tongue and groove and pin and something. It was incredible. Okay. All right. We walk in there. Allie, when you think of your whole experience at the Ark, what was the funnest thing you learned?
I was also pretty shocked that I always thought, like, how did they fit all of the animals on there? But once we, like, saw in there that they could have brought all those small animals as, like, babies, it just made more sense to me. I was always confused, and I always saw the pictures of the giraffes, like, hanging out, but they could have brought, like, baby animals and stuff.
It's like, yeah, and that's so funny, because so often the world makes fun of the whole Ark biblical facts. And say, well, where did they put the dinosaurs? And where did they put the full-size elephants? And where did they put the big giraffes and the rhinos and all that kind of stuff? And you're like, huh, they didn't. They brought juveniles, as he said. Jonathan, when you walked in there first and you just got inside that main cavity of the ship, what'd you think?
It was just, it looks big on the outside, but it's crazy how much they can actually fit in there also. How many animals and stuff they can fit in there.
I mean, you're talking 500 feet long, plus feet long. So it's not as big as a cruise ship, but it's bigger than a lot of smaller cruise ships. And high. I mean, a lot of wood in there, wasn't there? A lot of wood in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So things you learned, Jonathan. What was the coolest thing you learned yesterday?
I did not know that there were dinosaurs on the Ark.
Because they weren't really dinosaurs, right?
Right.
We learned that was a made-up name yesterday.
Right.
What were they?
I forgot what the...
He just referred to them as large reptiles.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Apparently, somebody, I think a British person, made up the name, the word dinosaur in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So we always immediately go to that, well, were dinosaurs even on the Ark?
You know,
and it's like, well, they weren't called dinosaurs, but there were these large reptiles that we've heard about in a lot of museums and things like that really were represented on the Ark as different kinds.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. That's what you got for me. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you look closely, either of you, at the amazing detail of the animals, the way that they had them in their different cages and stuff, at how beautiful the animals were? I mean, they looked real, didn't they?
Yeah, they did a really good job. And I also thought it was really cool how they made the people with like the, I don't know what.
Animatronics.
They made it really realistic. It was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you almost thought they were like, we're there, except for they weren't moving.
Yeah.
Except when they were moving, but you could tell, oh, well, that's not normal human movement. but it was cool to see how, like, some of the rooms that they had in there. Well, when you know, we got to hear Ken Ham speak yesterday about apologetics. Did either of you pull away anything from that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that I didn't even think about before, but it kind of amazed me that, like, I've never heard anybody talk about like the answers to common questions that people get about the gospel.
Made you want to buy that set of four answers books, didn't it?
Yeah.
We should have bought them.
Yeah.
We still can.
Answersingenesis.org.
Answersingenesis.org. Okay, so go ahead.
So we were talking with Sarah a little bit in the earlier about the fact that we got to go and hear about this concept of the golden ratio. And you had, Jim, said that we were going to talk to our grandkids, and we're talking to Jonathan and Allie right now. And do you guys remember what the shell was called that we see this repeated pattern of the golden ratio?
I think it was like a nautilus.
Nautilus shell.
Yeah.
Which also reminded when you look up on the cool videos of the galaxy, what kind of galaxy? Do you remember? The spiral galaxy.
Yeah.
Because it had the exact same dimensions in a galaxy.
Yeah, so I just want to remind our listeners, if they just tuned in, that we are talking today, recapping a little bit about our time with our whole family at the Ark Encounter
Kentucky.
Brandenburg Vacation. So we're bringing you along, not for the purpose of, you know, just, hey, this is where we went. We want to just encourage you and inspire you to maybe think differently about your vacation time, your time with your family, to just be a little bit more intentional and do something that can grow your faith a little bit. And kids, why don't you go with this then? Do you feel that going to the Ark helped you in any way with your faith?
Yeah, I think it did. It helps you visualize what you read, and it helps you really understand it. And I'm like a visual learner myself, and so it made it a lot easier to understand.
Allie, what about for you?
Yeah, I was gonna say about the same thing, that it made you really realize how crazy it is. And I'm the same, like, I'm a visual learner too. Mm-hmm. And it really made me think more about it, and it was really crazy. Mm.
It was a little different than the bathroom toy, right? The Noah's Ark and all the little animals. I mean, it made it a whole lot more real and not just a story.
Allie, you and I got to watch the movies together.
Yeah.
They were good movies, weren't they? Mm-hmm. What was the context of the movies? The first one and then the second one? So the first one was set back in what time? Like Noah's time, right?
Yeah.
And who was interviewing Noah? Like this lady who was kind of skeptical about Noah, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you got anything else on that, or am I going to lead you the whole way through this thing?
So tell the listeners a little bit about why that was a good movie.
Yeah, what was good about those movies? What did it help you see? I know we didn't get to finish the second one. The ones where we watched...
The lady was the news reporter, and she was asking Noah, like, did God really tell you to build this ark?
Are you really going to stay in that ark, and how many people are going to fit in there? I mean, it was really a skeptical thing. Obviously, it made a huge impact on Allie, and that's okay.
I liked it.
You wanted to finish it. We didn't get to finish it. Jonathan, did you get to watch either of the movies?
No.
Okay.
I only saw the 4D movie.
Okay. So let's talk about as you're walking the different decks of the ark. Lots of different displays. We walked through the one on the Ice Age. Did you learn anything about the Ice Age, Jonathan?
I didn't go in that one.
Okay, Allie, did you get to go in that one, the Ice Age one?
I don't think so.
Okay, so what ones did you walk through?
I got to see one about like the air ventilation and...
Oh, we'll talk about that. I mean, because it's like a big ship.
Cleaning of the earth. Yeah, from the... I mean, obviously, I don't know for sure, but from what they've kind of figured out was that there was like a giant hole in the bottom of the ship, which seems pretty crazy, but they had filled it up with water and would fill it and drain it, and it would suck the air in and push air, or suck the air out and push air in to circulate the air in there and clean out the smells.
Well, right. It was basically like a tube that acted like, instead of ballast water in the bottom of the ship, the wave motion pushed the air up and down, which created circulation through the ship to get, because obviously with 1,400 kinds of animals, it probably smelled like a
farm.
Zoo? How about a zoo? I was going for the zoo thing. Okay. So did you walk through any displays, Allie?
I remember going through the garden one with you guys.
Yeah, like the living quarters where they...
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. You got to see like all the different rooms that they got to stay in their living spaces. They built like the cages for like the birds, and I really thought it was really cool how they made the birds in there too. And
yeah, they actually have make believe birds, but like what they could have looked like.
Yeah, and they showed like the dove, and they showed it like so they like made a, I don't know what the people were made out of, but they made it, and like they were like standing on the ladder, getting the bird who had brought the leaf back.
The olive branch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really neat depiction because that was kind of like that moment that like, okay, the earth has grown back and we're ready to leave.
What about the keel of the ship, Jonathan? What was significant about the keel of the ship? Do you remember that?
Like the front of the ship?
No, the keel, the underneath part. Mm. It had three keels on it. Instead of a lot of boats just have a single keel, it had three, and that was for, do you remember?
Was it steering, I think?
It was steering with the big, the one sail on the top. So that was always steered into the waves, and then it was also for stability.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, and they got all that information based on ancient shipbuilders. All right, Jonathan and Allie, super glad you guys could be with us on Family Vacation. We love getting this done. And would you recommend that everybody take their kids to the Ark Encounter?
Yes.
All right. You heard it right here. Hey, thanks for tuning into I Work For Him today. Check out online, iworkforhim.com, for more on this show.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit Think Utility Services.
Would you ever own an abortion clinic? Would you own a business that profits from pornography? Did you know that there's a chance these types of businesses may be found throughout your investment or retirement accounts? Call Luke and Dave with Bel Air Wealth Management today. They specialize in biblically responsible investing options and can align your investment and retirement accounts with God's values. Call Luke and Dave at 727-798-4188. That's 727-798-4188. Online at bwmadvisors.com.
Condo fees always increasing? Think Utility Services can help your community stabilize the annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual unit water meters and only charging residents for the water they consume, your community can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save on utility costs for over 20 years. Call 888-MY-METER today. Learn more at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
Luke and Dave with Bel Air Wealth Management are longtime supporters of I Work For Him and have a passion for sharing biblically responsible investing with the I Work For Him nation. Have you ever considered that your investment portfolio contains businesses that turn a profit by working in direct opposition to God's Word? Call Luke and Dave at Bel Air Wealth Management at 727-798-4188. That's 727-798-4188. And find out if your investment or retirement portfolio aligns with God's heart.
Welcome back to I Work For Him, Brangenberg Family Vacation Styles. We broadcast to you right after having experienced the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, arkencounter.com. We now have our oldest daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Donnie, as we talk about their experience from your perspective. Let's just start with you, Donnie. As you took the bus down the hill and you come up to the top of the hill and you first get exposed to the Ark, What was your first thoughts?
That was a lot of work for a small group of people. it was impressive. I mean, it does exactly what I'm assuming they're hoping it's doing, is opening your eyes and really bringing the Bible to life.
I mean, it's just so staggering. Sarah, what about you? As you came up out of that bus and you first got to see the Ark, what were your thoughts?
I just felt like it was such a good depiction of the amount of faith that Noah had to have, because he wasn't doing something small scale. It was a ridiculously large scale and 100-year journey. And so many of the risks that God asked us to, or the, not really risks, but times that he asks us to step out in faith, are in our minds that big, but are really small when you're standing in front of an ark that size.
Yeah, most of us, when God speaks and says, hey, this is where I'm sending you, this is the direction I'm sending you, it doesn't take 100 years to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us don't have that.
It might feel like 100 years.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but most of us get really weary after 6 months or after 3 months or after a year or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he was building, they said, at the ark. How many years did they say, Donna, they thought that he was building?
50 to 70, 75 years, I think. And even that, looking at it, I don't know how they would have done that in 75 years, even with the way they had to have put the wood together that they showed on the entrance.
Mm-hmm. It's just staggering, the amount of stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so let's talk about the experience. We got to learn about the Fibonacci sequence. Donnie, I know that really touched you. Talk about your impressions of the Fibonacci sequence.
It was, well, I love math, and because there's an answer. Well, I'm a CPA, but there's an answer. I mean, math, the basics of math, it's the same no matter how you put it together, there's the answer. And just to see that math in nature, in us, in everything around us, and to learn about how we're attracted to that golden ratio, anything with that golden ratio, it made that the verse about, you know, there is no excuse because it's all around you.
Even in the invisible things. That was that Romans 1:20.
Mm-hmm. That made total sense. I mean, it's
math
everywhere.
Does make sense because math and is everywhere. What was the biggest shocker when you learned that the Fibonacci sequence, the golden
ratio,
when you saw that it's in what? When you saw that it was in what, you're like, no way.
Well, I mean, it's in marketing. It's everywhere in marketing. Marketing knows about it, and they know that we're attracted to that ratio, and it's in all of the big logos. Obviously, we didn't go through all of them, but all the big logos that you first think of when you say think of a logo, there it is. It's all over it, and intentionally.
Yeah, and the key, I think, to that whole conversation is the fact that, number one, we're drawn to the order that God designed. Mm-hmm. And so when we see the inside of a sunflower and it is part of this golden ratio, it is pleasing to us. It's comfortable to us. And that's because God created all of us that way. If one of the ratios, I'll just tell our listeners a few things. In their own finger, it's the first knuckle of your pinky to the rest of your finger. That is the golden ratio. Your forehead to your belly button?
Forehead to your nose, to your chin.
Top of your head to your nose, to your chin. Mm-hmm. Top of your head to your belly button, to your toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so
no matter who it is, that works.
Unless there's a genetic thing that has happened that, you know, that's beyond control. But in the healthy order of what God created, that's what he had. So Sarah, with that whole conversation, what did it make you think?
It just, the same thought kept resonating, especially when he talked about the number of petals on a flower and the number of seeds in the center of a flower and corn and all these things in nature. It just reaffirmed to me that God's hand is upon everything he has created, and it is in everything. And that is why the mountains and the hills will rejoice if we do not, because his hand and his order was upon everything.
Mm. Yeah, it's just amazing.
You know, I just have a shout out to Answers in Genesis, because Ken Ham has been studying this conversation for years. And yet this Fibonacci sequence that we're talking about, a teacher visiting the ark brought it to their attention, and they have latched onto it and started to teach it. So they're not afraid to go, what else has God got out there? What else can we tell the world to show of God's goodness and his design? And I think that's pretty powerful.
You know, talk about the fit, and we got to move on for the Fibonacci sequence. Donnie, when we were talking about it was the tip of the leaf to the base of the leaf to the base of the stem.
Yeah, if a leaf has a stem.
If a leaf has a stem, the golden ratio is in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was everywhere.
It's amazing. I mean,
but of course,
check it out. People can look it up online. If they do golden ratio, because you might spell Fibonacci wrong, but you know, you'll be able to find it through that sequence and really look at it for yourself, because it is pretty amazing and it all stems back to Romans 1:20.
Romans 1:20.
I know it is math, and nobody likes math, but stick it out, and it's worth it.
Yeah. All right, so talk about exhibits that you guys saw at the Ark Encounter. Donnie, what was one exhibit that you saw and you read stuff and you're like, ha, I love that explanation?
I mean, the whole thing was just amazing. There's a lot to read, and I wish I could have had a whole other day there to read more. But I just walking Jonathan and his friend Michael through the exhibit on the layers, the different layers, and how it there's assumptions built in to decide how long ago that happened, and there's evidence that it didn't have to take that long. Right. And just all these things that it's just very plain, as simply as it can, it lays it out on, here's what you've probably been told, and it's right side by side, here's what you've probably been told,
and here's
how the Bible explains it. And it's amazing. It really opens your eyes to the stuff that you kind of take for granted that you just hear in school or that you hear through whatever, PBS or whatever it is. And here's a completely different way of thinking about it that makes total sense.
Well, and when you look at I love the layers thing, too, because they looked at the Grand Canyon and any kind of place where you go where there's layers and walking on the hills anywhere around where we're at right now, there's layers all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they just said, hey, those layers could be put down in hours. It doesn't have to take – and the scientists assume today that it's all been one layer at a time, one nice even layer. And the question is, but they never ask the question – well, how did it just stay perfectly even? They never asked because it stayed even because it all happened at the same time. Sarah, what about for you? When you walked the hallways at the Ark, what was one exhibit that you're like, ooh, that was cool. I learned something really cool here.
Well, school the last couple of years has been a stretch for our kids. Just staying, like they know exactly what they believe and why they believe it, but we are constantly battling, presenting things to them. This is what you've learned at school, and this is what you've learned here. So I really appreciated, or what you've learned through faith. So I really appreciated walking through the formation of the continents and the Ice Age and the layers.
What'd you learn about the Ice Age?
You know, there was so much information in there. I honestly took a lot of pictures to really go through it longer with the kids, which I loved how much information there was in there. But it was just really neat to me to be able to say, this is what the world has taught you, and then this is what the truth is. And that's something that we'll dive into more. And we did buy the 12-pack of books that goes through a whole list of those kinds of topics. So I don't remember specifically what one thing stood out to me, but that's a lot of what they've been working with in science the last 2 years. So we loved that.
Jim, why don't you just say real quick, because you love the Ice Age.
The Ice Age
and you keep
thing.
Asking.
Okay. So when it says that the ground of the earth exploded, that the waters from underneath exploded and came forth and rocked the world. Well, that was volcanic eruptions and earthquakes and things like that. And because of all of that going on all over the globe, tons of steam and ash and debris got into the atmosphere and caused the atmosphere to rapidly, it made the water get really, really hot because it was interacting with magma, created a lot of steam and garbage in the atmosphere. And after Noah and the family got off the ark, the earth started to cool because there wasn't enough sunlight getting through, and it created several hundred years of serious cold that went down to the middle of the United States and all around the globe. And that that's where the Ice Age came from. It was as a result of all the garbage from when the earth blew up and all the waters of the deep came forth.
For the flood.
Yep, for the flood. Donnie, five seconds. Should a family bring their family to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum?
Absolutely. 100%. You can't beat it.
Sarah, what about you?
Absolutely. It was a phenomenal experience. We're so thankful to be a part of it.
Now we're glad the Brangenberg clan got to experience the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum. Thank you, Sarah and Donnie, for joining us on the air today. Make sure you check out online, answersingenesis.org, arkencounter.com, creationmuseum.org. It's fantastic. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers, our workplace, it's our mission field and our vacation field, but ultimately, I work for him.
America's First News with Gordon Deal at 5 a.m., Hugh Hewitt at 6, Del Wamsley at noon, Dave Ramsey at 2, and Larry Elder at 6 p.m. This is Talk 100.3.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You know, we've been in business here in Florida since 1928. And if you asked what's been the most important part of our history and what will be the most important part of Underwood's future, the answer's the same thing for both. Our honesty and integrity. Our founder, H.F. Underwood, had a favorite saying, "Know the truth and tell the truth." That's why we're the longest-standing member of the American Gem Society in Florida, because we know that you have to have the knowledge about gemstones before you can tell the truth about gemstones. As a result, we've continued educating our staff through the Gemological Institute of America and the American Gem Society. In fact, today, Underwoods has the largest American Gem Society credentialed staff of professionals east of the Mississippi River. So come by and see why we're looking forward to the future and let one of our credentialed professionals take care of you.
At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Does your furnace need repair? Your house need cleaning? Or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to handyman.homeadvisor.com. Home Advisor is a free online resource with instant access to top-rated remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to handyman.homeadvisor.com.
FM 100.3, W262